Armstrong and Getty.
The birthplace of talk radio.
I hear all these idiots and fools and jackasses on radio.
What an introduction that was. Holy God.
My gosh.
Nobody does it better.
Kids, we don't want another incident here, okay?
Yeah.
It's such a bizarre world.
I apologize for that.
All right, go, go.
There was nothing tonight that if you're looking at this thing, you say this, any of these people are prepared for what Donald Trump is going to do to us.
This is Ed McMahon.
And now he is Armstrong and Getty.
Hey, Henson, you got to cut up that Ricky Gervais thing because we need the clip. Need to use that regularly. I'm going to need it a lot for the rest of my life. I'm definitely going to need it today. The kill me now. Just kill me now. That's the clip I need from a lot of what is in the news. Just kill me now.
Yeah, yeah, and I think you speak for a lot of America.
Live from Studio C.
Oh, say, can you see, senor?
A dimly lit room deep within the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Communications Compound. And today, we are under the tutelage of our general manager.
Dual general managers this morning. General manager number one. Welcome to Washington, D.C. Kabuki Theater. For those unfamiliar with the art form, we'll be interpreting as the dancers perform their... Oh, you see the character of the old woman in the red dress on the left. She is stomping up and down angrily. Do you see the papers she's carrying? Those are known in Kabuki as articles of impeachment. Now watch as she crosses the stage to the right. Do you see the old men and women on the right? They are what's known as the Senate. Note how they are squatting up and down. That is them pooping on the articles of impeachment. And now they go through the ritual stomping of the articles. It's a beautiful form. Beautiful. And our second general manager, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He dreams of a world where people are judged not on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character.
Good luck with that.
In spite of what you may hear on college campi these days.
Kill me now.
Kill me now.
Not over the MLK, but over that first part. So we were asking the question yesterday. So what is the delivering the articles? Is they actually do that, or do you just say you just send an email and say, hey, there's a PDF in your file you might want to check. It's the articles of impeachment. I sent you over a PDF. But they do the whole...
I haven't gotten it yet. Check spam. I did check spam.
Oh, it's in my junk mail. That's where it belongs. They actually go through the whole dog and pony show. So somebody's going to walk it all the way over there.
They put it in a special box.
Right, the old impeachment box.
Yeah. Yeah, the IB. And then they walk it probably through that tunnel that connects, you know, the ends of the Capitol. And then, you know, much as I described in the Kabuki Theater thing, the Senate will go, yeah, thanks for this. And on they go.
Yeah, whatever.
But will they call Lev Parnas?
Oh, God.
What's a Lev Parnas?
I'll tell you the challenge today is, the challenge today, well, it's really the challenge every day, but I think particularly today, the challenge is to talk to you, to have something to say to you that is of any interest or importance to you, any amusement or importance to you. There are a ton of radio shows and TV shows that are going to talk about crap. I almost dropped an S-bomb. Are going to talk about crap all day long that I know you don't care about. Polls show you don't care about. And research doesn't care about.
Right.
You're not going to tune into it. Most people aren't.
And it's good. Just, we'll steal their viewers and listeners. And I'm fine with it.
And it's just lips flapping for no reason. There's something going on in our society. We're going through a transition phase. It's part of the whole... Too much information, staring at our smartphones, short attention span thing.
Right. And yet, well, in this era of overcrowded media options, the media, an individual medium, will decide, well, we got to be known for something, so I guess we'll just do the same thing over and over every single day.
Yeah. Ugh. Same topic every day.
And so many of them are doing the same thing.
Well, we're going to try to craft something that's either amusing or interesting to you.
Oh, it's done. I could do 12, I'm an exaggerator, radio shows right now that have nothing to do with impeachment or anything like that. Easy peasy.
The impeachment's the interesting story.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
And I don't care about it. I don't care about the interesting story if you're going to compare that to whatever that was last night that was a complete waste of time.
It was a big nothing.
It was a big nothing. So it was just, and fine, that's all that needs to be said about it. Nothing. Nothing happened. Tree in the forest. Nobody there. Nobody heard it.
Why are you still talking about not talking?
Because I'm looking up at the cable news channels. I'm just thinking, what are we doing? What is happening? I'm confused. It's like the Matrix or something.
It's a lot like that.
Let's introduce everybody in the squad. We'll start over there with our board operator, Michelangelo, pressing buttons, flipping toggles, pulling levers. How are you this morning, Michael?
I'm doing good. I guess it's National Bagel Day.
How is it? National Bagel Day. Well, it's a proud moment for America.
I know. It's a
that's one and of my, Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday.
One of my favorite.
What a special day.
I know. They're so comparable.
Never explain my punchlines. Don't explain punchlines. No, you were saying bagel day. The delicious bagel.
Yeah,
Where were you?
What are you planning to do?
One of my favorite snacks. I'll find a bagel shop today, get a bagel. So.
You know, I noticed yesterday, because every time I go to like a Noah's Bagel or something, I don't know what you have in your part of the world, but that's a bagel shop near me. And if I go in the morning when they're fresh, God, you think, oh, this is what a bagel is.
Mm.
This is what a bagel is supposed to taste like.
Yeah, properly made bagel.
Because
I
either eat old bagels or like grocery store in a plastic sack bagels all the time.
They're circular bread.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're not a real bagel.
Yeah.
But they're so delicious. You get a good one and get a little something spread on there. Oh, man, that's a delicious treat right there.
You know, Michael, here's my dark bagel secret. I only limit my amount of schmear on there. Cream cheese and stuff, by shame. I would put, I mean, it's practically unlimited how much I would put on the bagel, except that people will look at me and mock me.
You're not the sort of health nut that it's practically transparent how much you spread on there. Just
please.
A little bit, tiny bit of for flavor.
Thick as the bagel.
You like it oozing out the sides when you put the two parts together like a sandwich?
No, I don't put them together because it would squeeze it out. I eat it open face.
The garlic herb cream cheese is my favorite.
Ooh, it's a good one.
Yep.
There is savory cream cheese.
There is. There's positive Sean whose smile lights up the room. How are you, Sean?
Doing very well. Oh, excuse me. I saw the movie Little Women yesterday as I tried to observe all the movies that have been nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars.
All 9 or 10 of them?
Yeah, I think I'm only shy one or two now. Wow. I got to see 1917, and I think there's one other one that
I haven't
checked.
I didn't see that many movies in the tens. Mm. I didn't see that many movies in that decade.
Interesting.
Go on.
I thought it was a wonderful story told very well, but I got to be honest. They all seem like regular-sized women to me. I don't know. I haven't been this misled since they rolled credits on The Neverending Story. I don't know. I need to do something to adjust my expectations going into these things, because they just seemed regular.
Did you stand up in the theater, Homer Simpson, like, these are regular-sized women?
I am not impressed. No, but every time a young woman or a little child girl appeared on the screen, I leaned over to the person I saw the movie with, and I said, there's a little woman.
There's one of the little women they were talking about.
Loud enough for everyone to hear, I hope.
So we'll get into some of the news of the day and try to keep you up to speed on that and try to amuse you and inform you on something that's important. That's the goal, right?
Entormation.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty on this. It is Wednesday, January 15th, the Ides of January, the year 2020. We're Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
Let's begin officially now. According to FCC rules and regulations, here we go at Mark.
Even if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper. Go on out and sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well.
Wow. I love that speech.
I think that's old-timey talk. You got to plan to be a rock star or a movie star. If you're not doing that, you're kind of wasting your time.
And blame others for everything that happens to you in your life.
That is good stuff right there. That's the sort of thing I want to teach my kids right there.
You know, and so much of what he said is being lost, and I think it's a terrible, terrible shame. The idea of be so clearly worthy of respect that anyone who disrespects you looks like the idiot they are. It's a beautiful message.
That's a great message on National Bagel Day.
It is.
How does mailbag look?
It's fine.
We are talking to Mark Halperin later in the program. He is honestly among my all-time favorite pundits. I just really always like what his mind is cooked up in terms of looking at the landscape. Politically. And we're going to talk big picture, not about last night's debate because there wasn't anything there. But he wrote that book on how to beat Trump, and most people out there think Trump is probably going to win, according to all the people he talked to.
Which one of his chapters was last night's debate in that book?
Oh, boy. Yeah, no kidding.
Sure.
Anyway, more on the way on the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Oh, speaking of that great music right there, Tom Petty, a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the list of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees is out today. Joe loves talking about that.
Whatever.
So we'll get to that later.
Stupid.
Rock and rollers like Whitney Houston.
Oh, God.
Did Pat Benatar make the list? There's the controversy.
Is it?
So stay tuned.
I don't even think Pat cares. Mailbag. Couple of freedom-loving quotes of the day today. Josh sent this one along from one of my musical heroes, the dearly departed Neil Peart to Rush. So the Maples formed a union and demanded equal rights. The Oaks are just too greedy. We will make them give us light. And there's no more Oak oppression, for they passed noble law, and the trees are all kept equal by hatchet, axe, and saw. Reed Harrison Bergeron by Kurt Vonnegut. And this from Harry Truman. I love this. Joe from Dayton, Ohio passed this along. On polls. Harry Truman said this. I wonder how far Moses would have gone if he'd taken a poll in Egypt. What would Jesus Christ have preached if he'd taken a poll in Israel? Where would the Reformation have gone if Martin Luther had taken a poll? I love that.
Nice. Are polls one of the worst things to ever happen to humanity? They couldn't do them before. It just was undoable.
Right.
And once you could, because it does have an effect on it. Well, it has an effect on everybody. It's impossible to not be affected by polls when you hear...
Which polls?
All of them.
Okay.
When you hear another person convinced of what we're saying.
When you hear this is what's the most popular that, or the most unpopular this, mm-hmm. or 80% of people think this, it has an effect on you.
Am I going to take the path of least resistance as a candidate, or am I going to try to change minds and hearts? I think I know which one I'm going to choose.
New poll out on the whole Iranian strike, which is kind of interesting. Stay tuned for that.
You know, another book you might want to read is The Myth of the Rational Voter by some guy. I can never remember.
Herman Melville.
That's it. Really interesting.
By some guy.
I could Google it, but that's what we have.
So could you. See, that's the deal.
Well, yeah. Let me Google that for you. The Myth of the Rational Voter. I'm driving, you idiots. That's a fair point, my friend. We will try to have a link to that fine book at armstrongandgetty.com.
And please don't call people idiots on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday and National Bagel Day.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's disrespectful, and I apologize. Let's see. Here's a nice note from Joel, who sent along a video. It's posted on the YouTube, and we will link it at armstrongandgetty.com. I should have already given it to Hanson, but I didn't because I'm a moron. It is of a bicyclist taking video on a bike trail in the Sacramento, California area. It is essentially, it has become an enormous, miles-long bum campground, where junkies go to shoot up and poop and dig holes in the levees, threatening thousands' lives and commit crimes and God knows what else. And take what ought to be a gem, a taxpayer-funded gem of quality of life, and turn it into a poop hole.
That's something.
Never mind your asshole countries, Mr. President. There's asshole cities. It's discouraging. And on that topic, because I can't stop, got this from Taylor. How far gone is Cal Unicornia? Around Christmas, my girlfriend had $5,000 worth of luggage and materials stolen from a car in Sacramento. I provided the Sacramento sheriff with video of the crime and the perp's plate. Their number, their license number. He has got the security cameras. It's registered in Oakland. I was told they couldn't really do anything because the Oakland police don't pursue property crimes. They won't help.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, which
that
know.
Is. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I know it's crazy. Oh, Jack brought up. We brought up Afghanistan yesterday, and what are the troops doing there? Two more young men have died. America's finest. Why? What did they die for? And Jack said essentially
nothing.
Nothing. To give time for politicians to figure out how to do what they're going to do anyway.
Here's something that actually happened during the debate last night that is worth mentioning, that there was more foreign policy in the debate last night than usual, and it was what it was. But because, and I was so disappointed in this, because the Afghan papers were bipartisan, because you have two administrations, Republican and Democrat, that for 8 years misled us, from top to bottom, through the Pentagon, through the White House, everything like that. Nobody's going to take that on. If it had just been the Republicans, then the Democrats could howl up and down about lying to us about that.
Sure.
If it is the other way around, but because it's both, you're not going to hear a peep out of R's or D's about the war in Afghanistan.
Well, no, they'll stand up for their party. They're not going to stand up for the soldiers and the sailors and Marines.
In the discussion of all this stuff, nobody mentioned that.
No.
The fact that we've been misled the entire 20 years.
Why would they? They don't get anything out of it.
They talked about lies leading up to Iraq, but not Afghanistan. Okay.
So we got a couple of notes on that very question. What did they die for? Was it nothing? Steve the veteran writes, for what? They died during the national strategy of kill terrorists where they exist. Please never say died for what. It is shameful to hear, especially on your show.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I think it is important to say died for nothing if that's what it looks like. And that's what it looks like.
Yeah, Steve, with all due respect, and we appreciate the note, there is a tendency in all countries, I think, to continue to send soldiers unnecessarily into the meat grinder of war over questions of national pride or politicians afraid to make the difficult choice. And I'm not going to, quote-unquote, support the troops by getting them killed unnecessarily if that's the way I see it. But again, I say that with all due respect to your point of view. And then we got this from a retired lieutenant colonel in the Army. The primary reason we are still in Afghanistan is the money. It's a big industry with contractors. I know. I was a military liaison officer between the contractors and the military. I rubber stamped the checks. I offer that as a counterpoint.
I would hope that when it comes down to one Democrat and Trump, that some debate, a moderator brings up the Afghan papers and presents it to, you know, at that time, people representing both parties and say, what's the deal?
Yes, please. And this from Chris. The topic is tail wags dog. Here's the entire text. Trump wags the dog and Joe the dog barks. Well, being the Joe in question, I think, Trump wags the dog.
Are you the dog or the tail?
Well, Trump is wagging the dog.
Okay.
But you bark, so that makes you the dog.
But
so Trump is wagging you?
But there's no tail?
The tail doesn't bark.
But the tail wags.
I have a dog.
This says Trump wags the dog.
The bark comes out the other end.
But I'm not barking. Chris, maybe you could write back and explain in more detail why you think I'm whatever you think.
The tail end poops. Are you pooping or barking?
I'm barking, apparently.
Okay.
Woof, woof. Woof.
We'll run through some of the news coming up.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
My reaction to much of the news of the day is kill me. Just kill me, like Ricky Gervais.
Kill me.
Kill me. Kill me.
Oh, boy.
So as we mentioned, the articles of impeachment will be sent over today. They're like officially, they're put in a special box.
Yeah.
So is there a box that somebody keeps in the closet that's only come out three times?
Hand whittled by Andrew Johnson.
This is the Andrew Johnson box. We put the Clinton papers in it. Now the Trump papers. Then it goes back in the closet.
Tradition. Yeah, I guess there's some sort of special vessel they use. I don't know.
And somebody will walk it all the way over there, I guess.
Sounds so stupid.
Shouldn't there be music playing as they walk it over, too?
The problem with a lot of this stuff...
The impeachment theme.
It comes from royalty. It comes from monarchies. That's where that sort of stuff comes from.
And our system of government was designed to resist that, so it makes sense that it's kind of in there.
I'm all about a democracy being, we do it a modern, efficient, smart way.
A matter of fact way.
Yeah. So we got the papers, we PDF, we sent them over in an email.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at them sometime today.
Or you just send some assistant over to Mitch McConnell's office, to hand it to a staffer. I mean, that's good enough, but I guess there's a big ceremony to make it look like they're taking this all seriously, and it's not an exercise in partisanship.
As far as the debate, I'll only mention this right here because I thought this was pretty good from the Dispatch. Missed opportunities and pulled punches. If you're just turning into the race, you didn't see any candidate make a strong case to switch whatever your mind was already. The six debates so far, seven after last night.
That's plenty.
The six previous debates don't appear to have mattered much at all. And last night was an opportunity for candidates to change that, and nobody on stage seemed to want to.
Yeah.
That is pretty good.
If you're a real policy nerd. It was somewhat enjoyable. I watched, you know, a chunk of it. And, you know, the discussion of what to do in Afghanistan, that caught my ear. The whole Iraq thing. But it was only mildly interesting.
Kill me.
My eyelids outvoted me, though, and I bailed.
A lot of my favorite pundits I follow on the Twitter were saying, I'm going to bed now. Yeah. I'm out now at various points through the whole thing.
Yeah.
A poll out now that we're, you know, a couple of weeks out and things have settled down a little bit and there's more information out there about the strike in Iran. U.S. strike killing Salamander. Right action, wrong action. It's right action 45, wrong action 41 in a poll. Which is kind of right around the number of people that support Trump. So,
right.
Like everything else.
Right, right.
Well, should there be an impeachment? Should we have killed the terrorists? Whatever it is, it's roughly the number of people that support Trump.
And as I often point out, I'm not the least surprised that the approved numbers aren't more overwhelming. Because oh my God, I'm sorry, I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. Lack of discipline. Sean, get the beating wand.
Awesome.
Yeah. I need a couple of good looks. No, I can say it. Let me say it.
How do you feel about a compliance belt? If we had like a shock collar, and I don't know who you want to have it.
A collar? I thought you said belt.
Either one.
Get around my midsection. I can take my neck. Sounds painful. If anybody's mush mouthed or stumbling,
and then you want Sean to have the button.
They get shocked. I don't think that would make me the least bit jumpy and
twitchy
paranoid.
And drooly.
Exactly, and terrified to say anything at all. Now, as I've pointed out many times, it doesn't surprise me at all that those numbers aren't more overwhelming, because the vast majority of the American media is delivering the message that this was a horror against humanity and a terrible misstep and has brought us to World War III. And young people, you need to register for the draft because you're going to be drafted, which was a huge, only half-kidding meme there for about 48 hours. So the fact that in the face of that tidal wave of propaganda and or editorializing, I'm not the least bit surprised the numbers are the way they are. And the fact that they're in favor is a tribute to the common sense of the American people, I think.
The other poll question that just shows you how, I don't know what it shows you, that people are stupid. Killing of Soleimani makes America more safe, less safe, no impact. The clear winner, less safe by 13 points. Safe, 32, no impact, 18.
That's true in the very near term, in the very short term. In the long term, it's absolutely clear that it will probably make America more safe.
How are you not enough of a grown-up to understand that?
Follow the story, probably. They don't understand who this guy is. All they know is he's an Iranian general.
Don't you understand just regular, the way life works? If you finally decide to confront the bully in the schoolyard that day, at that moment, you're going to be less safe than if you didn't.
Right.
But overall, obviously, it's a good idea.
Oh, my gosh. That reminds me. Our good friend Tim Sandifer, Tim the lawyer, with a screed on Twitter about cowardice masquerading as honor. Not confronting bullies being portrayed as honorable and the peaceful method when indeed
and
it's
brave.
Just cowardice. Right. Exactly. Maybe we'll hit you with
that.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. I read through the whole thing. I saw you tweeted it out, and it's pretty interesting all the way through. I thought it was thought-provoking.
And, you know, listen, my intellectual honesty hat coming out of the closet, let me dust it off a little bit and put it on. You know, that...
It looks good with your shot collar.
Thank you. Not every act of aggression can be justified in that way. I mean, not every, you know, if we took out, like, 14 different generals around the world this weekend, you know, that it doesn't justify everything, but it's a good argument and a good framework to have in your mind. We'll get to that pretty soon.
Mentioned this yesterday. France, Germany, and the UK accused Iran of failing to meet its commitments under the JCPOA. So for all you've heard about that and Trump dismantling something that everybody thought was a good idea, France, Germany, and the UK all signed on saying you haven't been doing what you're supposed to do. So cool.
Yeah.
And finally, this is just for Joe. The 2020 class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is out.
Durr.
Here's your
so
rock,
dumb.
Here's your rock and rollers. If you enjoyed rock and rolling at the Sock Hop to Depeche Mode or Notorious B.I.G.
Yes.
The Doobie Brothers. All right.
That's a rock and roll band.
Not actually related.
That's a liars. That's a great rock and roll band.
But actually into Doobies.
Yes.
Probably.
Authentically.
T-Rex, a band from way back in the day.
Oh, what? I love T-Rex.
I don't know. I don't even know if I've ever heard that.
You got to be kind of a music head these days. Okay. Bang a gong. was their biggest hit. And what was the other one? It doesn't matter. What's that?
Moby Dick.
That was Led Zeppelin.
So here's the controversy,
though. And Herman Melville.
Dave Matthews Band did not make it. Motorhead didn't make it. And Pat Benatar did not make it.
Oh, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, and I left out the biggest name on the list. Other rock and rollers, along with the Notorious B.I.G. and Depeche Mode, Whitney Houston.
Ah, yes.
This happened over Thanksgiving break, and I don't think I've ever mentioned it on the air. So this woman that I'd never heard of, who had been Whitney Houston's right-hand woman through her entire career, she put out a book. And at first I thought, okay, this is another one of those tell-all books about dead celebrities that I think are so uncool. Mm-hmm. Who slept with who and all this sort of stuff. And you make money off of telling other people's secrets. I think that's so uncool.
Yeah.
But this woman came forward to say that she and Whitney Houston were lovers for like a decade and a half or something.
Really?
Through Whitney's late teens into her 20s. Or almost into her 30s, and the point of the book is not, you know, Hollywood gossip. It's Whitney Houston was an abused person. She was sexually abused when she was younger by Dionne Warwick's somebody, or Dionne Warwick factors in somehow. Wasn't wow. her, but
also a rock and roll Hall of Famer,
a musician from the past. But anyway, she was a child star in a family full of celebrities, and she was regularly left unattended with adults and got molested and was a mess from the get-go.
Oh boy.
And this woman was kind of a mess too, and they bonded and they became lovers, but then decided they were straight, I guess, or something. And went separate ways, but they continued to stay close. And just what an awful life, you know, like Michael Jackson, like a lot of people, just what an awful life she, Whitney Houston, had,
mm-hmm.
and practically nobody would have survived that life,
right?
Having started right. that way,
mm-hmm.
you know how you end up. You end up a drug addict and a pill addict and a drunk and everything else with all kinds of emotional problems and relationship problems because you're brought up in that because she could sing good.
Right,
family took advantage of her and thought we can make her a star and lots of people will make lots of money. And it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah. You combine that and the mouse is big on that, cranking out these child stars who. Some of whom become adult stars, some of whom say to hell with this and go live normal lives, and some of whom end up dead. But the star-making machinery, fame's a curse. It's not something you should aspire to. It's a curse. Anyway.
Yeah. Whitney Houston, rock and roller.
Best song about fame ever. Limelight, Rush, Neil Peart. Look it up. Read it. Listen to it. Turn it up loud. Bow, 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 bow. Round out. We use it as bumper music all the time.
Is that what it sounds like right there?
So, the recent topic on Reddit, Jack, I'm going to defer to you as our chairman. Here's the proposition. If you can drink a 12-pack of beer a day for a month and keep your job, you'll get a million.
12-pack a day?
A day. And you have to hang on to your job, you get $1 million.
Oh, I could have done that easily.
What's your strategy?
Start drinking when you get home. That's my strategy.
You know,
it seems like the easiest thing in the world.
I could do that. God, I'd almost be tempted out of sobriety for that. I could do that standing on my head.
Well, listen, you had the tolerance of a guy who enjoyed some sauce, some beer.
The thing I would need is a compliance belt around my neck to get me to stop at 12. That would be the hard part.
All right, you're the wrong guy to ask.
Now that I've had my 12, let's get this party going.
Right. Now we're ready.
Now we're lubed up. Who wants to go to the bar?
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, I suppose you're a strapping young man of 6'1" or two and a bit of tolerance back in the day. I think for a lot of people that would be hard. They would be hammered by the end of the evening drinking 12 beers. What's your strategy?
Drink them is my strategy. One after t'other. Put on a ball game. That's my strategy. Maybe an album I like.
All right. Never mind. I think you could get two in at lunch.
Well, are there people?
And nobody would know.
There are people, I suppose, that look at that and think, oh, my God, how could anybody do that? I suppose people think that.
12 beers is a lot of beers for the normal person.
Yeah. It's,
you
yeah,
would be hammered.
It's not nothing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd find that pretty easy to do.
Average person gets home at, we'll say, standard work day. We're working, say, 8 to 4:30 or 5, really, in the modern day. You're home at 5:45.
And they didn't do the thing where they knocked out two at lunch, right? They're trying to not
do it. That'd be a good idea. That'd be a good idea. A couple at lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, throw in. Although, you don't want a smell of alcohol. You got to keep your job in the bed.
Right. I could never drink in the morning, so I don't understand how people do that. But
yeah, so you hit one. Well, let's see, it'd have to be 2 an hour between 5:30 and 11:30.
You stop at a bar to call on the way home. You have a couple of drinks, stay under the legal limit, make yourself home, then you finish off the other 10.
Okay, there it is.
You have a couple before dinner, a couple with dinner. That's 4. So you're at 6. Now you got 6 for the rest of the evening, spread out over watching a debate or a ball game or whatever you're doing.
Exactly. So your strategy is open them, swallow them, and pee a lot. There you go. It's a winner,
break
folks.
The seal.
You heard it from an expert.
Armstrong and Getty.
Oreo announced yesterday they will be releasing a limited edition Most Stuff cookie that has extra cream filling. And if you want to eat that, you'd probably eat most stuff.
That's a good point.
Wow.
That's a good point.
No, you're an anti-creamist in Oreos. You're an anti-creamist. Admit it. I like the double stuff. Ooh, yeah.
Even with that, just in general, if you're the sort of person that regularly eats Oreos, you're probably going to eat. You're open to a lot of different things.
Granted.
I'm just
honestly, I have not had a double stuff in a couple of decades. I think it would probably repulse me as an adult.
No business commenting.
I used to love them.
I still eat crap like that. I shouldn't.
Well, I stand corrected.
I think it's because I get the age of my kids.
I'm
it's around the house.
Yeah, God, I'm trying to get so far away from sugar of all kinds. I eat something sweet now, it sickens me.
If I didn't have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, I'd never have Oreos around the house, I don't think.
Yeah.
We got a couple of texts on the some serious stuff in a second. But Joe, who came up with this challenge? If you could drink a 12-pack a day, every day for a month.
And keep your job.
And keep your job. That seems odd that they throw that in there. Like, it's, oh my God, could you do it? I guarantee you work with people who do that all the time.
Right.
And you don't even think about it. And they're not old junk gym. They're just gym.
But they worked up to that.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I work in construction. Most of the guys I work with drink a 12-pack of beer every night. It's part of the job description. So you get $1 million if you drink a 12-pack every day for a month.
Right.
And don't lose your job.
Yeah.
12 beers a night and keep your job. Blah, 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 blah. I work for home. I'm doing that challenge right now, which is kind of funny. Yeah, God, if you worked at home. It's called being in your 20s. Yeah, for a lot of people it is. 12 beers a night and keep your job.
Night after night?
Night after night. A lot of folks doing the dry January. I'm doing it. Feeling good.
Cool.
Feeling good. It's actually getting easier, not harder. Boredom's the main challenge.
Mm-hmm.
When you're bored, you think, if I'm buzzed and bored, I'll be having a good time. But, nah. I'm not losing weight like I'd hoped to, though.
Oof. Well, but that's an argument to you don't have to do it or ever do it again. You think, okay, so it's not. It's not the weight thing, so I'll just keep drinking and figure out something else.
Yeah, so why are you trying to talk me back onto the sauce?
I would take that as good news.
Remove his hat. Let me see if he has horns. Yeah, it is kind of, I guess, sort of.
Are you compensating that time or that habit with, like, other treats
or something like that? Trying very hard not to.
Okay.
Yeah, although, well, yeah.
So I mentioned yesterday Mayor Bloomberg, who's running for president. And the reason I mention this is because it was such a yawner of a debate last night and a number of pundits. Do we have what Van Jones said about that? I'm not going to get into the debate here, but it sets up my premise here. And if we don't, we don't. But Mayor Bloomberg is running for president. He was not on the stage last night.
I defeated.
And I want to say that tonight for me was dispiriting. Democrats have to do better than what we saw tonight. There was nothing I saw tonight that would be able to take Donald Trump out, and I want to see a Democrat in the White House as soon as possible. There was nothing tonight that, if you're looking at this thing, you say any of these people are prepared for what Donald Trump is going to do to us.
Yeah, that's kind of what the debate looked like.
Yeah.
So Michael Bloomberg, he announced last week he's got $58 billion. He said, I'll spend $1 billion to become president. I'll spend $1 billion for somebody else to become president if I don't get the nomination, even if it's Bernie or Liz, who I don't agree with.
Yeah.
So he's willing to throw $1 billion at this.
Yeah.
And for his own trying to win campaign, he now has 1,000 staffers, which is like,
holy cow,
which is like 4 times as much as most people have clear up to running for becoming president.
Right.
He already has 1,000 staffers, and he's paying twice what other campaigns pay to get the best people and to keep them. He's promised them, I will pay you to November, even if I lose the nomination, you know, next month.
Wow!
So there's no worry of, am I getting on the right team or whatever.
I know something about campaign work, and that's Willy Wonka stuff. I mean, that's impossible. That's you got the golden ticket.
I'm going to pay you more, and you're paid clear through November, no matter what, to get the best people.
Wow.
Committed to it, and he's got 1,000 people already spread out across the United States.
And he will go nowhere, probably. Although, then he'll kick in $1 billion, and, you know, how that ends will be so interesting to watch.
Keeping in mind,
if Trump wins in a landslide after that, it's really going to discourage the billionaire throwing her money around crowd, I would think, although they're egomaniacs.
But Trump spent, like, the least amount of money anybody's ever spent, adjusted for inflation, and had 3 people working.
Corey, you know. Our man.
But anyway, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
That's more than enough of that.
Wow.
So we are following the Major League Baseball story of the Houston Astros, who cheated their way to a World Series in 2017. I loved that season. I loved that team. I got into it. I watched every night. God, it was so exciting. But the reason they made all those amazing comebacks and everything is they were cheating. Well, so the guy who came up with the idea, apparently, is Alex Cora. So he is the guy who came up with the idea, working for the Houston Astros, was part of that team, went to the Boston Red Sox, who won the World Series the next year when he was there.
Coincidence!
In 2018, and left yesterday. Left the Red Sox
yesterday. Quote, unquote, left, was fired.
Yes, yes. Alex, perhaps you would leave, they told him.
Yes, so he was the bench coach for the Astros in that season. After that, he's...
Which is like an assistant coach if you're not a big baseball fan.
But it was his idea.
Yeah. Right.
The whole hitting the trash can with the bat thing, using the camera up in the stands. He goes to the Boston Red Sox. They win the World Series the next year. He gets fired yesterday. and there's a lot of belief that they're trying to get ahead of, maybe we cheated our way to a World Series also.
As a Giants fan, I wonder whether the Giants might reach out to him. Perhaps you could
want them to reach out to him.
The bunting coach. Or the making sure the gloves are well-laced coach or something.
How about the banging on the trash can advisor?
The director of pine tar.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.